It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And today on the show, Resolved.
So, you know, I arrived at New York University on January 15th, 1998, as a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young assistant professor.
This is Wendy Suzuki. She's now a full tenured professor of neuroscience and psychology at NYU. But in 1998, she was just a newbie, hoping to make a name for herself.
I wanted to make a splash, and I wanted to discover something new about the hippocampus and how memory worked. And that was such an exciting time.
Because Wendy started her own lab with grad and PhD students, all helping her do cutting-edge research.
And I just focused so hard because as a research scientist, I had 6 years to prove myself to get tenure. And if I got tenure, then I would have a job for life. But there's a really, really high bar.
So Wendy went to work.
I was going to just work, and do nothing else.
After 6 years, Wendy was on the cusp of getting what she wanted, tenure. She was well established and respected in her field. But all that work?
Work.
It took a toll.
I had no friends, and I was eating so much takeout, and I didn't move my body at all, and I just felt really, really bad.
You were burned out.
I think I was lonely. I was unbalanced. I'd gained 25 pounds, but it was really this feeling of, how come I'm not happier? Despite the fact that part of me said, you have no right to be dissatisfied. You have this, you know, tenure track position. You get to do all this cool stuff. But nonetheless, I was unhappy and I did not know quite what to do. And I said, okay, I'm going to give myself a vacation. I need a break.
So she took one and went to the Cotahuasi River in Peru for an adventurous rafting trip.
And I went, and being outside and getting more physical was just such, it felt so good. But at the same time, I'm looking around, and every single person on this trip was stronger than I was. There were 16-year-olds that had more upper body strength than I did, and 65-year-olds. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so weak. I need to do something. I never want to feel like the weakest person again.
What did you do?
Literally, the next day after I got back from Peru, I remember I had all these bug bites on my legs because of all the insects. But I marched down to the closest gym to my work, and I signed up. And it was that, like, I can't feel. This is, something's wrong. I'm feeling too weak, and I need to feel stronger. And that was my resolution.
Wendy resolved to be stronger, healthier, to improve herself, as so many of us vow to do, especially this time of year. As we know, however, resolutions, they are easy to make and even easier to break. But what if you got a different perspective on why you should keep going with a new healthy habit? What if an idea or story could motivate you in a whole new way? Today on the show, Resolved, the most common resolutions people make and new reasons to stick with them. From saving more money to eating better, seeing the world, and spending more time with family. And let's go back to Wendy Suzuki. She had been working out at the gym for a little over a year when she had a revelation.
I was writing a grant in my office. And this is something that neuroscientists and researchers have to do a lot. And it's usually just this horrible, you know, pulling out your hair process. You never know whether it's good enough. You're competing against Nobel laureates. But I said to myself one day, wow, writing went well that day. And I had never, ever had that thought go through my mind. And I realized that I was not only feeling better and more energetic, but my memory seemed to be working better. My hippocampus that I was studying in my own lab seemed to be working better. And my focus was working better. And that is what really made me sit up and take notice and say, what's going on here? And how can I get more?
What's going on with my brain? I really like this feeling.
Exactly. It was a truly a turning point in my career and in my life.
So as a curious neuroscientist, I went to the literature to see what I could find about what we knew about the effects of exercise on the brain. And what I found was an exciting and a growing literature that was essentially showing everything that I noticed in myself.
Wendy Suzuki continues her story from the TED stage.
Better mood, better energy, better memory, better attention. And so now, after several years of really focusing on this question, I've come to the following conclusion, that exercise is the most transformative thing that you can do for your brain today for the following three reasons. Number one, it has immediate effects on your brain. A single workout that you do will immediately increase levels of neurotransmitters like dopamine, serotonin, and noradrenaline. That is going to increase your mood right after that workout, exactly what I was feeling. My lab showed that a single workout can improve your ability to shift and focus attention, and that focus improvement will last for at least 2 hours. And studies have shown that a single workout will improve your reaction times, which basically means that you are going to be faster at catching that cup of Starbucks that falls off the counter, which is very, very important. But these immediate effects are transient. They help you right after. What you have to do is do what I did, that is change your exercise regime, increase your cardiorespiratory function to get the long-lasting effects. And these effects are long-lasting because exercise actually changes the brain's anatomy, physiology, and function. Let's start with my favorite brain area, the hippocampus. Exercise actually produces brand new brain cells in the hippocampus that actually increase its volume as well as improve your long-term memory.
You say in your TED Talk that we now know that exercise promotes brain cell growth, but do we know how?
Yeah. So what's happening is that there are signals that come from the muscles themselves. There are proteins released by the muscles when they are working, when you're out on your power walk or doing your kickbox class. The muscles release proteins. The liver releases ketones, and the fat tissue also releases substances. All of these signals are going up through the blood-brain barrier into the brain. And one of the biggest things that they do is they release what are called growth factors in your brain. These growth factors we know are the key to growing new hippocampal brain cells. There are lots of other neurotransmitters and neurochemicals that get signaled that give you what I like to call a bubble bath of neurochemicals every single time you move your body. That is what you're doing. You're changing the neurochemical milieu of your brain in a positive way.
Number two, the most common finding in neuroscience studies looking at the effects of exercise, long-term exercise, is improved attention function dependent on your prefrontal cortex. You not only get better focus and attention, but the volume of the hippocampus increases as well. You not only get immediate effects of mood with exercise, but those last for a long time. So you get long-lasting increases in those good mood neurotransmitters. But really, the most transformative thing that exercise will do is its protective effects on your brain. Here you can think about the brain like a muscle. The more you're working out, the bigger and stronger your hippocampus and prefrontal cortex gets. Why is that important? Because the prefrontal cortex and the hippocampus are the two areas that are most susceptible to neurodegenerative diseases and normal cognitive decline in aging. So with increased exercise over your lifetime, you're not going to cure dementia or Alzheimer's disease. But what you're going to do is you're going to create the strongest, biggest hippocampus and prefrontal cortex. So it takes longer for these diseases to actually have an effect. You can think of exercise, therefore, as a supercharged 401k for your brain. Okay? And it's even better because it's free.
So there are long-term, wonderful effects of exercising on the brain.
We've talked to other researchers about that on the show. But you've also done research into how exercise can make me feel better right now. And so, I mean, I'm going to ask the question everybody wants to ask, right? What is the minimum I need to do in order to feel better right now?
10 minutes of walking with a W, has been shown to have significant improvements on mood state, significantly decreasing anxiety and depression levels, and also increasing positive mood states. But what if you are not exercising regularly? How much exercise do you need to start to see clear brain benefits? And the answer is 2 to 3 times a week of 45-minute exercise. Mm-hmm. And after 3 months, our exercise group had significantly higher baseline mood rates. In other words, they were happier at their baseline. Number two, they had better performance on a task of focused attention, a very classic one that some of your listeners might have heard of, the Stroop task. And they also did better on recognition memory, which is dependent on the hippocampus and the surrounding structures there.
Do you think that that could be maybe the one thing that could keep people going? Like if they know that exercise is the most transformative thing that you can do for your brain,
yeah,
maybe that's the nudge that they need.
It could help, absolutely. People have a vague notion that exercise might be good generally. But yeah, if they really knew all the things that exercise was doing for their brain. Imagine a watering can with growth factors, that you are watering your hippocampus with growth factors. You're making it that much more fluffy, that much more big and fat every single time you move your body.
Wendy Suzuki is a professor of neuroscience and psychology at New York University. She's also the author of the book, Healthy Brain, Happy Life. You can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, Resolved. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back.